Well, a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to take a Caribbean cruise, the Western Caribbean. And I have to say, it was one of the most relaxing vacations that I had taken in a long time. It was just good to get away from all the parish activities and the activities at home, and just to relax and have some time to read or just sit out on the balcony and look at the vastness of God's beautiful creation of the ocean, the beautiful turquoise waters. So if you've ever taken a cruise, I don't want this to be a commercial for a cruise line vacation, but if you've never taken a cruise, you really should, you owe it to yourself to do that. Just the opportunity to see the water and see the sunrise over it and maybe see a lone seagull kind of keeping pace with the cruise ship. I don't know how they got out that far, but he was keeping up with us. Or I saw some of the flying fish just scattering through the wake from the back of the cruise ship. It was really enjoyable. So as I had some time to read, I did come across an article that I found interesting that talked about all these new virtual reality games that are out there and how people are really attracted to the realism that they present. And it was interesting to note that, you know, as more and more of these become available, that a lot of our young people, as well as adults, are finding it very difficult to separate themselves from wanting to engage in these types of games, these activities, because they're so lifelike and so realistic that when they have to step away from it, much like putting down our cell phones, that they kind of go in through a withdrawal symptom. They just want to stay in that perfect world that the virtual reality presents. And I could kind of relate to that, because after spending 7 days on the cruise ship, I hated to think of coming home and getting back into reality as well. And it wasn't just about losing some of the couple of pounds that I put on from all the buffets that we ate at. But as I was preparing for today's readings, looking at the readings, I thought the same thing about what Peter, James, and John might have gone through, their virtual moment or cruise ship moment. You know, here they were on the top of the mountain, and they experience Jesus in a most amazing way, and they didn't want to leave it. Peter says, let's build some three tents. I want to stay here. I don't want to get out of this moment. And their experience was most amazing. They see Jesus, his clothes dazzling. They see Moses and Elijah, two key figures in the Old Testament. And then they hear God speaking. It is no wonder that Peter wanted to stay there, stay in that moment, just like what I would have rather stayed on the cruise ship for more than a week. They wanted to remain in the moment and prolong the time on the mountain rather than return to the reality of everyday life. And I think if we took some time this morning and just thought about it, I think we've all experienced those types of moments in our lives. Vivid, memorable times of beauty, an encounter with nature, or a deep and satisfying accomplishment, love, peace, or perhaps that cruise vacation. Perhaps it was even an energizing worship service when the prayer, the music, the homily all come together and the splendor of God, his mystery, breaks into our lives, even if it's only for a very brief moment. Then, like Peter, you may want to say and call out, it is good that we are here. It's good that we're all here this morning, 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I'm sure we all have many other things to do, but we've chosen to come here to worship our Lord. So let's take a moment. Think about those profound experiences that you may have had. Recall a time when you felt closest to God, when you felt God's presence in a very special or very unmistakable way. And then your thoughts might be similar to what Peter and the others felt on the mountaintop that day. As they witnessed Jesus' transfiguration, Jesus invited the disciples into a deeper understanding of who he truly was. Jesus is seen speaking with Moses and Elijah, who represent the law and the prophets from the Old Testament. Jesus is the promised one, the one whom the law and the prophets pointed to. He is the fulfillment of the covenant of God, who God initiated with Abraham, as we heard in our first reading from Genesis. And then we hear God's voice of approval. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Transfigurations are waiting for all of us. Do we listen to God? Do we listen to Jesus in those moments? We can all experience those moments, those mountaintop moments, and they can be transfiguring and transforming for ourselves as well. You might find those in the face of a newborn child, in the eyes of someone we love, in a quiet prayer moment. Christ is in each one of those peak experiences, and we only need to see with eyes of faith, and we'll catch a glimpse of the glory of God. Unfortunately, like the disciples and myself on that cruise, We have to come back down the mountain, get back into reality, and face the ordinary routines of our daily life, the cluttered challenges in our lives, the disappointments, and even sadness. But we are changed. We are changed by that transformative experience. We are strengthened, and we can be renewed. All it takes is one kind thought, a kind word or an act, one at a time, and that will help transform our world. So what happened at the Transfiguration reveals to all of us that we too can participate in the glory of God's love. It's not one miraculous event, even though it might seem like it, like a virtual experience, but it's an ongoing life experience. Every day, we are in a conversion experience that's meant to be shared. Each Sunday, Jesus invites us to the mountain, to the Eucharist, the source and summit of our Christian life, where the bread and wine, symbols of ourselves, which we bring forward at the offertory, are given back to us, transfigured, transformed into Christ's body and blood. As his disciples were transformed by the Eucharist, we descend the mountain and return to the routine of our daily lives, but we're strengthened, we're renewed for the journey, a conversion experience that motivates us to share the vision of God's love with others and then helps transform our world one day at a time. I once had a discussion with a priest friend of mine regarding how they named new churches or renamed older churches that merged together. And he always liked the name Transfiguration. And when I asked him why, he explained, because of what happens each week in that building, at the altar, not only in the transformation of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, but also the transformation which occurs within each of us who partake in that great gift of Jesus. The love of Christ has the power to transform lives. Something to think about as we descend the mountain today, as we leave church and continue on our Lenten journey this week. We are transfigured, transformed by the Eucharist. We become what we eat. We become Christ, each for the sake of all.